Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Death Unbound by Richard Amos, narrated by Cooper North. Chapter 1. My right foot plunged into a cold puddle of mud lurking in the dark. Damn! I lost my balance, falling forward, palms scraping across the wet woodland ground, sparing my face from taking a smack. Rocks and tree roots sliced my skin, my fingers diving into mud, my knees taking a hit. God, that hurt. Drawing deep breaths, trying not to panic, I slowly got to my feet, shivering in my sodden hospital gown. It clung to my skin, as thin as paper, doing nothing to protect me against the rain and the bitter October night. "This is bullshit," I told the dark woods, a faint trace of moonlight peeking through the trees and the rain clouds. It was my only source of light, and not serving me well at all. Behind me, the bright lights of the building I'd been held in minutes ago were a glaring reminder that I was being hunted by High Warden Emma Lackey. Yep, hunted by my boss, and God knows how many other necros. I'd been strapped to a bed and drugged with a sedative, now leaving my system. Screwed, pretty much, until I'd gained an 8th thread of power, the ability to teleport, which landed me outside of the building with no resources or decent clothes. Great! Yippee! Lost in the panic I kept trying to suppress, I'd run into the woods to get away. Stupid move when I had a new power to possibly play with. Palms throbbing with pain, shivering in the damn cold, I closed my eyes and beckoned my new power to the surface. It came easier than expected, sparks spreading across my skin, a crackling army drowning me in green necrotic magic. I blinked out of the spot next to the puddle, appearing a few feet away, almost tripping on a tree root. Fuck! I barked. My stomach roiled, a painful acidic bubble rising in my throat. I held on to a damp tree trunk, the threat of serious dizziness on the horizon, fingers scraping across the bark. Was it the new power or the fading sedative poking at my guts? Probably a combination of both. God, I really needed somewhere warm, with plenty of antibacterial wipes and hand gel, plus some bandages, painkillers, and just a dash of red wine to ease me into a nice long sleep. If only. Drawing a deep breath, a throbbing pain migrating to my chest, I tried to teleport again, focusing on where I wanted to go while wondering if this power was strong enough to move me miles and not just a few feet. Death. He had this power, at least before he walked off the job and had his skills diluted down. His stepping away from his duties is what made us necros develop stronger powers, powers our bodies weren't designed to handle. Or our minds, which is why we had a serious problem with necromancers becoming rogues. Hello? I jumped back at the sound of the male voice, almost losing my footing. Again, damn! I was one wobbly fool tonight. A slightly translucent, rosy-skinned man stood in the trees wearing a bright, floor-length yellow raincoat. He kind of reminded me of the little kid in It by Stephen King, only this guy looked to be in his 60s and wore a red hunting cap, his grey beard trailing past his shoulders. Gandalf, by way of Georgie. Hello, the ghost said again. What are you doing out here? You'll catch a terrible cold in that. He wagged a finger at me as if I were a naughty kid who'd been caught sneaking out of his bed. His brown eyes blinked, attention moving to the lights behind me. That place, I died there. I didn't have time to talk, but he piqued my interest. He might have some intel for me. What is that place? I asked. He wagged his finger again. Don't be rude to me. What? You didn't ask my name, he said, his features collapsing into a sneer. Such terrible manners. And you didn't ask me mine, I countered. Okay, time to leave. If some ghost with etiquette issues wanted to lecture me on manners, he could shove it up his dead arse. I wasn't about to take such bullshit. I went to move past him, but he moved to block me. I could just pass through him, but he could send me to the ground with his kinetic energy. and he looked like he wouldn't be afraid to kinetic the shit out of me until I knew the proper use of all the cutlery at a fancy restaurant. "I don't have time for this," I said.
"You're running away."
"Please don't do this."
"Do what?" he questioned.
"Whatever it is you have planned." The ghost's eyes were menacing slits, his glare lethal, trying to pierce my soul. "What do you want?" I asked.
"That depends," he answered.
"On what?"
"What you can give me. If you can prove to me manners aren't lost."
He jabbed a finger toward the building.
"Belittled. So belittled."
Commotion behind me, the sounds of revving engines, the headlights bouncing in the dark. Oh, shit. Time was officially up. The ghost laughed, the sound a cracked nightmare. That had to be the creepiest delight I'd ever heard in a laugh. My already freezing flesh received an extra layer of icy goosebumps licking across it. Shit, this ghost shone with wicked intent. He wanted to hurt me, giving off so many cruel vibes. I hit him with my control power, snaring him firmly in my grip. His creepy eyes widened with surprise, his mouth open in a silent O as he struggled against my power, like a fly caught in a Venus flytrap. "Buzz away, wanker." The vehicles on my tail were getting closer, sliding across the wet field to the woodland's edge. "Off you go, and cause some chaos," I told the ghost. "Really hit them hard." He made a choking sound, then burst into a run toward the bright lights and the engines. I ran the other way, pushing through the pain in my palms, the ground biting at my bare feet. Called to my teleportation again, stomach roiling as the green sparks ignited my fingertips. "Get me out of here!" Disappearing and reappearing made my head spin and my knees buckle. I stumbled at a different point in the woods, trying to regain my balance at the edge of a basin. I failed, tumbling forward, landing on my side. "Shit!" I yelped as I rolled down the steep, muddy incline. Desperate to gain purchase on anything, I hurt my left thumb on a jutting root, then landed on my back in a soupy pool of mud. "Fuck this!" I groaned, struggling to get up. Shouting, a heavy crash, metal crunching. Good. Mr. Creepy was hard at work, still connected to me by a frayed thread. The liquid mud was freezing, my teeth chattering wildly. My fingers scraped the side of the basin, clawing at sodden mud with nothing solid to help me out. The more I tried, the more I panicked as shitty realizations settled in. I was sinking, slowly but surely, trapped, the mud holding me in a gooey vacuum. "Oh, God!" "Breathe." Breathing exercises were my fateful routine to stop me falling apart or spiraling into crippling panic. "Breathe. Breathe. Breathe." I closed my eyes and focused harder on my power, even if my stomach performed so many sickening rolls. Without someone fishing me out or a miracle, I'd drown in this mud. I wouldn't die, seeming as I seemed incapable of kicking the bucket right now, so God only knew what sort of suffering would unfold. Nope, not something I wanted to find out. Where did I want to go? Back to Oakthorn? Not after the town got slapped hard from Nick breaking Death's ruby. I'd done enough damage there, and now I really understood how imperative it was to stay away from the love of my life, at least for the time being. God, I missed him desperately, craving his touch, his face, all of him. Part of me hoped he would slide down the muddy slope of this damn basin and pluck me to safety, carry me away somewhere warm, maybe our Daisy Pocket, a place he'd made from mage magic. The weather was gloriously warm there, and romantic. Love and heat. Yep, that's exactly what I needed.
"Marcel!"
Emma's bellow smacked me upside the head, bringing me back into focus. Where did I want to try to go? Home. I want to go home.
"You can't run, Marcel."
I really didn't like my boss. In fact, I kind of hated her for how she treated me, but I never thought I'd have to be running from her. "Where are you?" She sounded way too close. "Home. I want to go home." Sparks ran across my fingers again, spreading down my arms. "Home." Heavy footsteps, a man's voice calling, a head cresting the top of the basin.
"He's here,"
the man in a black helmet cried, his gun aimed at me. The sparks brightened. Emma appeared, her silver bob sleek despite the rain, her own pistol pointing right at me.
"Your power," she said. "Is it your power?"
I didn't answer her, focusing on my family home back in London. My safe space, the place she took me away from, dumping me in Oakthorn. A sanctuary of warmth and safety, always smelling of Mum's cooking. Mine. My home. The sparks engulfed me in a blaze of green light.
"Marcel!"
Emma's voice came loud and shrill, only to break apart, scattering into nothing. The cold and the mud released me, my dark blue bedroom carpet greeting me seconds later. Positioned on my hands and knees, I hurled my guts up. Acid burned my throat, my tongue stinging the sensitive areas of my teeth. My stomach throbbed violently with each retch, a searing pain shooting through my head. Wave after wave of nausea assaulted me, trapping me in a dizzy cycle. When the retching stopped, I collapsed, left side of my face pressed into the floor. I couldn't move, limbs heavy, no muscle ready for action. Deep breaths. Easier said than done. Each breath hurt, triggering smaller dizzy waves. 5 minutes. I just needed 5 minutes. My necrotic magic trembled within, digging claws into my mind. I always felt it on the fringes, the encroaching consequence of having too much power. Necromancers were required to be mentally and physically strong, mind protection provided by necrotic neurological assistance formula, also known as necro juice. We walked a precarious line every day, me more so than ever before with my recent upgrade. The blend of liquidized chaga mushrooms and powdered hematite helped, but not always. "Please don't make me a rogue." Stinging, intense agony flaring in my skull, my vision blurring, a terrifying red sheen passed over my eyes, seeping into my mind. I clawed at my scalp, a billion mites crawling across it. "Fuck!" I cried. My room fractured, reminding me of the time Death's room at Oakthorn Manor broke after the first ruby accident, the world shaking. I rolled to avoid the crack, red liquid spilling across my carpet. I pushed myself to my knees, severe vertigo twisting my insides. Another crack ran up my eggshell wall beside the wardrobe, running across the ceiling, red goo oozing out of them. "What are you?" I asked it, snot running down my face, my eyes full of sand. The room quaked in answer, the window cracking with cloudiness behind me. I ducked, thinking glass might spray me in the face at any moment. "Stop!" I cried, grabbing my head again. But the room wouldn't stop shaking, juddering harder in defiance, reminding me it was the boss of me and I its little bitch. Shaking, cracks, red liquid. It almost landed on my forehead, as pretty as the ruby, but runny like egg yolk. I chuckled at that, fingernails digging into my temples. Necrotic magic dove deeper into my mind, many fingers stirring the pot of me, tasting me, ready to add extra spice. I roared with laughter, punching the wall. No, I shouldn't laugh. I shouldn't be so aggressive. "Gods of the bedroom," I called over the quake, my bed bouncing up and down, making such a damn racket. "I beg of thee to show me mercy." Thee? How was I not supposed to laugh my balls off at that? I snorted, then smacked myself in the nose with the flat of my palm. The pain burned and blood immediately ran with the snot. "Shitting shit, shit," I growled, ready to punch the wall again. I didn't, too scared of the bedroom gods. "I'm sorry," I told them. "I want to be a loyal servant. I'm so loyal. I can't get by without being loyal and bowing and being a good little slave to you bitches in the walls. My hand slapped over my mouth so hard I split my bottom lip. I could feel my eyes bug with terror. A bad mistake made. The bed rattled harder under my folly. Folly? Funny word. Is it? Yes, fucking hilarious. I snorted behind my palm, dread sprouting wings and flapping like a trapped pigeon. Shit, shit, shit. Folly. Snort. I freed my mouth and clasped my hands together in prayer. Please, 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 take pity on me. A lowly scoundrel means not what he says. I am but slime upon your carpet within this holy space. Fingers flicked at the scarlet goo surface of my mind, splashing the walls of my skull. Chamber breached. Why am I talking like this? I beg thee, I screamed. I wish I could take the hands of time and draw them back to the place where I didn't insult such incredible gods as you, because I am not worthy to even be here and speak with you, and... I drew a deep breath, a pause between my rambling. A pause. Rambling. Queen of the chatterboxes. She always rambled, took pauses, didn't realize she was using too many words a second. My friend. My ghostly friend. Louise. I blinked, the ruby sheen across my vision dimming. Louise? I said. Louise? Only the shaking room answered, but not quite as loud. Probing fingers squirming in my head, more like burrowing maggots, too close to getting what they wanted. My tasty, rotting flesh. Not rotting. I'm not rotting. What was happening here? I fell forward, pleading with the bedroom gods on all fours like a dog. Doggy, doggy, woof, woof, can I have a treat? No, want me to do something else? Kill? Who should I kill? Oh, marvellous ones! I got to my feet, slapping my left cheek. Wait! The room stopped shaking as I drifted into a moment of clarity. The ruby sheen vanished, the cracks and shaking of the bedroom gods gone, because they weren't real. None of these things were real, and the only red in the room was from the blood oozing from my nose. I shivered, feeling the cold in my bones again. Wet and freezing, no heating on in my house, and fully aware of my dance with rogueness. My rising power pushed against my mental faculties, those prying, grubby fingers almost succeeding. There was just enough necrojuice in my system to pull me back, barely keeping me from tumbling down the cliff face. I had to get more into me, like 5 minutes ago. I can't become a rogue. Rogues were complicated, their behavior all over the place, their emotions a roller coaster with no rules or emergency brakes. I guess you could call this a lucid moment before the necromagic fucked up my mind beyond repair, the last of the necrojuice in my system dissipating. Mental failure could be minutes away. God, the consequences of doing our jobs were so cruel. I got up, limbs weak, everything hurting, and yanked open my bedroom door. The threat of the bedroom guards lingered. A whisper in the dark I smacked aside. Those fake creatures wouldn't get me. Not again. Not fucking today, I told the dark landing, hurrying into the nearest bedroom, my brother Henri's. Though I'd packed and taken my necrojuice to Oakthorn when I'd been, let's face it, exiled, I left some emergency stashes here. Being super important for a necro to always have the gross liquid mushroom formula to hand, Dad insisted we kept some in every room of the house, with no exceptions. At all times, just in case. Thank God for the papa. Retrieving the silver box from under Henri's bed, my bloodied, filthy fingers slipped on the clasp. Gods, 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 they will come. Oh, hell no. Flexing my hands, taking a series of deep breaths to get a grip on myself, I managed to pop the clasp, opening the box to find a syringe, a rubber strap, and vials of grey liquid. I worked quickly, bringing up a vein with the strap on my right arm and injecting 2 lots of necro juice into my system. The stench of rotting potatoes attacked my nostrils, but I soldiered through it, the cold liquid going to war with my power, smacking down its destructive ambitions. Thank God for that. I collapsed onto my side, blacking out before my head connected with the carpet.
Chapter 2. Death. Barbara, the guardian of the hidden market, opened the red door of her London home on Roman Road.
"Hello, gorgeous," she greeted me warmly, despite the confused crease in her forehead. "Back again?"
Her glossy chestnut curls were tied up with a purple scrunchie, her dark brown skin glistening with freshly applied moisturizer. I held on to patience, not letting her see my fury, my fear for Marcel.
"Yes, back again. You'll be sick of seeing my face soon."
"Never."
I could smell something delicious and sweet on the air.
"If you're not in a rush, feel free to stay and try some of my banana bread. It's good stuff."
"Unfortunately, I'm in a hurry."
She nodded.
"Thought so. Come on in."
Barbara stepped aside to let me into her house, leading me to the basement door so many passed through on their way to the hidden market. This secret place, smothered in magic, had a set of rules to follow in order to access it, including a specialized route with a set of patterns to remember. They were all ingrained in my mind, my visits to Yvonne frequent enough. The trust for my mage friend was broken ever since the revelation about her being Leon's mother, a mother he thought to be dead. Nicholas Nick West, the lich and Leon's husband, had murdered her. Nick used fear of death to manipulate Leon, to control him. But Leon also rebelled, concerned over his husband's ambitions without understanding the full scale of them. Nick wanted the Onyx Key, an instrument of undoing no one should ever get their hands on. Seeing as the key undid existence, the Lich's plans were simple. He wanted utter destruction. I wouldn't let that happen. I'd find the Onyx Key first and put an end to this madness. I just had to explore Mount Everest at some point, seeing as it was hidden there somewhere. Nothing was ever easy. The more I thought about it, the more I really felt for Leon. What a horrible web to be caught in, and with the added reveal of his mother being alive to torment him. Dreadful. I still didn't trust him, but I did want to find him. The trouble was, Nick had the mage stashed away somewhere secret. Leon kept trying to figure out his location with astral projection, though without success, and the Seeker potion only searched for objects, not living souls. Only a mage scrying for someone could do that. I paused with my hand on the basement door's handle.
"Can I ask you something, Barbara?"
"Go for it."
"The Lich," I said. "Did you let him into the market?"
She blinked at me, her expression shifting from warmth to icy cold. Her lips pursed into a thin line, her eyes widening.
"Barbara?"
Frozen. If it wasn't for her blinking, I'd say she'd been hit with some form of petrifying magic.
"Barbara?" I tried again.
Her hands curled into fists by her side, eyes gesturing for me to look behind her.
"Come along now," a male voice said from the kitchen. "This wonderful banana bread will burn if you don't pay attention."
Nick stepped into the doorway, wearing a designer suit.
"Nice to see you back on your feet," he said to me. "Managing that exposure of yours?"
Bastard. He'd used a red potion on me, probably made by the treacherous Yvonne, to expose me to the pain of the dead I hid from. A rusted blade struck my heart every time memories of those pleading spirits hit me. The dead suffered so much because of me, so lost no matter how they assimilated into their false existences with the living. They needed release, to move on as they deserved, and I denied them that every hour of every day, and will until things change.
I winced at my thoughts, taking a step backward. Nick laughed.
What's the matter, Death? Feeling a little peaky?
I snarled at the silver-haired monster. His handsome, sun-kissed features and bright green eyes were nothing but pretty lies. He was the scum of the universe, a stain to be removed.
What are you doing here?
I demanded, taking a step forward. He pulled a gun, aiming it at Barbara.
Trying to enjoy some evening tea and banana bread with a dear friend.
His tone was condescending and packed with venom. I went to move. He cocked his gun.
Are you faster than a bullet, Death?
I stopped, unsure of my speed. Maybe at full capacity with all my powers intact I could be, but I wasn't about to test any theory with Barbara's life. My eyes fell on her.
You've been letting him into the market.
More blinking.
I had no choice. It was that or he'd...
Kill her, little brother, Nick interjected. As young as your Marcel's Henri, I'd guess. 18 or so. Is that right, Barbara?
20,
she replied. I thought of Marcel, how his family had been used against him. Goodness, all I wanted was to hold him, to let him sleep off his trauma in my arms.
Callum,
Barbara added.
I had to protect him.
So you should, as his big sister,
Nick said, nodding with enthusiastic agreement.
Where is he?
I asked, every inch of me tightly wound, ready to pounce on the lich. Nick's smile sent icy spiders crawling up my back.
Wouldn't that be telling?
Please,
Barbara said, eyes never leaving mine.
He has to be safe. He's my brother.
And a very nice young man,
Nick responded.
Please don't hurt him. I kept my end of the deal.
Nick smiled, taking two steps closer, his hand disappearing into his left pocket. What did he have in there?
Barbara, he said.
Yes?
Stop whining.
I saw her face twitch, hiding anger she was clearly afraid to reveal. This was going nowhere, wasting precious time. I needed Yvonne and a new ruby so I could be with Marcel.
You are putting too much faith in Yvonne. Is it Yvonne Barker you're after, Death?
The lich questioned. How wonderful it would be to see his head removed from his neck.
You've been working together. You could say that, he responded. But don't expect me to elaborate.
Leon thinks his mother is dead. Nick's smirk dropped.
That's none of your business.
Did he wonder how I knew that? Had I just landed Leon in trouble? I steered the conversation in a new direction.
Why are you here?
There was that smirk on his handsome face again.
Clearing up some messes.
His hand came out of his pocket, a potion vial breaking at my feet within the blink of an eye. Red liquid fizzed, streams of red vines rushing across my body, briefly bathing my body in red light.
Oh, no!
Chapter 3. I came to about 20 minutes later, feeling better, my head a tad fuzzy.
Damn this, I groaned to the bedroom.
Teleportation. Turned out it kind of sucked, despite saving me from Emma. It was too powerful, so I wouldn't be using it again unless I really had to. Typical. Land a truly awesome power, and this happens. Getting to my feet, I moved on to the dark landing, not daring to flick a light on. I rubbed the back of my neck, letting the comforting scent of cotton fresh air freshener envelop me. I closed my eyes, so happy to be home. All I needed was my family here. Lights on, warmth everywhere, Henri asking me to help him with Resident Evil 4. That brother of mine was never going to complete the game without me. And I was beginning to think he deliberately sucked at it so he could keep staring at Leon S. Kennedy's arse. God, I miss them all so much. The heavy patter of rain filled the silence of the house. God, it felt so lonely, so tragic without my loved ones here. My family had been used by Emma, moved from pillar to post, put through so much trauma, and I'd had zero chance of hugging them, talking through the horrors they'd been through. Damn.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?